Hello, everyone. I'm Ryan O'Clavin, and welcome to the best and worst of Walt Disney World. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the best stage shows at the Walt Disney World theme parks. And to join me for this discussion, we have Mr. Sean Folk.
Hi.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
And Craig Williams.
Hello.
All right, so we are going to dive right in here. These are in no particular order, but yeah. So Disney Junior live on stage. Thoughts?
I'll go ahead and take this one since I'm the one who suggested it be on this list. This is clearly not for us as four grown adult men, but I think we can all agree that Walt Disney World is not just meant for adult grown men, and it's also for families, children, everyone. And I've been in Disney Junior live on stage before, and while it doesn't appeal to me, all you have to do, you don't even have to go in, go watch a video of it. Kids lose their freaking minds in this place. They just eat it up. It is while Hollywood Studios isn't the most family friendly, this is about the best family friendly thing you can find there. They love the Disney Junior characters that are all available there, all the popular ones, the Sophias, the
Doc McStuffins,
all of those. Yeah, and so again, while it's not for us, kids absolutely love it. And so as us here saying, if you're going there by yourself, two adults should not probably be walking in there and thinking like, I'm going to enjoy this show. maybe if you watched the episodes about the best bars and you spent too much time at one of the bars, who knows what could happen then. You might end up inside Disney Junior. But for the most part, unless you're going with your kids and you want them to have a good time, just stay to the sidelines on this one.
My issue with this show is not so much the actual show, because it is a lot of puppet work, which I think is really cool. Like Craig said, you can watch a video of it on YouTube, but it's the seating in the theater. So it a couple years back, within the last 10 years, they remodeled or redid the show. I forget what it was before, but it was not Disney Junior. It was the same idea.
It was Bear in the Big Blue House.
Yes. And so when they I thought they were going to like redo the theater so there would be actual seats, but it is like mats on the ground. And that is fine for a couple of minutes, but it's like a 20 to 25 minute show. That as an adult would not work for me because it would hurt my back. But the other thing is kids pee on this ground a lot, and instead of like really cleaning the area, they just put mats over it until the end of the night. So I've got a weird germ issue with this theater. Watching the video on YouTube is great, though. I think, oh, what great, cool puppet work. And there's Mickey and Goofy and Donald and then his stupid lady friend. And I don't like Daisy.
Daisy. Yeah, I didn't know people felt that way. Yeah.
She's terrible.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've had enough of her attitude.
Yeah.
But anyway, your thoughts on Disney Junior? You and Michaela go on date night in here ever?
I've never been inside.
Oh.
Yeah. So I feel like I should probably just shut up because I don't know anything about this place.
Okay. All right. Well, then that'll bring us to the next show, which is just across the street from Disney Junior. And that is Voyage of the Little Mermaid, though not officially listed on the Disney site as a stage show. It is a stage show.
It's
in a theater.
On a stage.
There are actors performing in front of you. Yes. I don't hate this show. I just do feel like it's outdated, and it feels a little, I don't know. It feels a little jumbled to me. It doesn't really feel like it's got a clear, it set out and had a clear, like, fluid vision of, like, this is why this should still be here years later, you know?
I was really surprised when we were discussing the list, and because I came in late on this list, and it was on it, and I thought when you guys were saying it was on the worst, and I was like, oh, okay, so now it's popped up on best, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was happening.
Originally I was going to put on the worst, but Craig said he thinks it's on the best, and I do think, like, there are some fun effects. Like, I do like the story of the Little Mermaid quite a bit.
Oh,
so it's not
too,
like when I'm in there and I watch it, I'm like, oh, what did I just do? But, you know, I like the laser the lasers were.
I think too much of it's movie and not. And I would like it if more of it was stage compared to something like Finding Nemo, which somehow like does the all stage stuff.
But I was going to say I'm not going to talk about the one that is on the worst list because we'll get to that next week. But there is one on our worst list that I think suffers because of the fact that it is all just characters. Whereas with this, I think that's why to me it still has lasting power because it did make use of the movie moments. It kind of it helped balance it out from starting to look way too dated. And while I do agree that it could use a good refresher, it could use a good update.
Some modern technology.
There's been a couple times where I've had to end up in this show because of work, and I've ended up being like, wow, I kind of forgot that it was enjoyable. There's definitely some aspects to like about it.
The blacklight puppets, when they do the is it Flotsam and Jetsam that they're doing that, or is it, or is that how they do
Under the Sea?
Too. The whole thing with, and I always every time I see that I go, I do like this part quite a bit.
Yeah, no, it's. I think there's more good elements in it than bad.
Yeah, but and I do like the way they present you being underwater. Like, I think that's a good way of like having the. I mean, it's just a laser line, but like it does do that, and it gets a little cooler in there, I guess, to make it seem like you're going underwater. So
I enjoy the show. I agree, it's outdated. It's almost always full, so I feel like it's one of those things where Disney, even though it should be updated, they probably are saying like,
well, the capacity is always
until this show stops having people fill in the seats, then what? There's no, I feel like they don't really have a reason.
I never have an issue with older properties, and I know Little Mermaid is not really considered older technically, but I mean it's the 80s, we're getting older. Like I don't have an issue with that if it stayed Little Mermaid forever. It's just more of the tender love and care that okay, it is popular, people do like it, maybe we should make it a little more snazzy.
I agree with that. Like Craig, I feel the same way that I find myself in here every once in a while and I say that was fun, I enjoyed it, I like the blacklight puppet scene. I mean sometimes you can get a Ariel that can't really hit her notes. Sometimes that throws it off a little bit, but I still think overall it's an enjoyable show. And I don't know, I enjoy it.
Yeah. So I'm going to actually, the next one on the list, I'm going to flip it with one above it. We're talking about properties that have been around for a while and stage shows. Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. We put that on the best list because, I mean, come on. It's Indiana Jones. Again, I am on the side of this room where I do feel like it could use, I thought when, thank God they didn't, but when I thought when the Crystal Skull was coming out that they were going to update and refresh the show, and yeah, thank God they didn't. But I enjoy it because I do think it is a lot of fun. It's the dick of it all that kind of lasts too long in the show for me, but I mean you get to see some pretty cool movie moments that are acted out in front of you. I mean, where else are you going
to
do that?
Yeah, I think this is I don't go to this show a lot, which I, in a way I'm glad I don't, because I haven't overkilled it with myself on going. I think it's something that a lot of people don't do, because I know tons of people that have been to Disney many times over and they've just never done it, or they've said like, oh, I never thought about going there. And I grew up going to the California parks, and so I was used to doing the Indiana Jones ride that's out there. So we were shocked when we got here and it didn't exist, and we did the show instead. And I was like, you know, I really liked that, getting to see the stunts. I think it's one of the only things that makes Hollywood Studios a studio park at this point because Backlot Tours closed and there's nothing like studios about it except that. And it's just really an exciting thing that's almost like out of character for Disney, because they don't usually do things with that many pyrotechnics, and having you that close to stuff, it feels more like a Universal type thing instead. But I love that about it.
The thing I like about the show is as an adult, you can appreciate the stunts that they're doing, because like they're watching their athleticism and watching like all the coordination that's going on. But as a kid, I remember just being like blown away by like just believing it all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like the, when the boulder comes
down. Yeah, and it's like, or yeah, the
airplane's moving around, and you're like, oh, that guy's dead.
Yeah, and so I think that kids and adults can appreciate it in two different ways, and I think that when Disney does that and it hits the right note, it really can be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the shtick definitely needs updated, you know, like the plant and the audience and the Hawaiian shirt, like that. Yeah. That stuff is all just
That's old level. That's old school cheese, you know?
It is. But the show itself, the actual show portions, that's what I love about this show is that I think it is still around because it does have a classicness to it, whereas Lights, Motors, Action never had that. You go to Universal, Fear Factor obviously is the woof, plus and Sinbad is...
Oh my God.
Easily the worst show in any theme park in Orlando.
There are Six Flags shows better than that.
Yeah, and so, but that's there's true. The actual show portions of Indiana Jones when they are doing the stunts, they're cool. The fact that they're slightly pulled from the screen, I think it makes it worthwhile. Yes, it is a chore getting in between those, but I think that also gives you an appreciation for when you go out and watch a movie and it is containing physical stunts and not CGI, you forget that sometimes they set up for a day to get this one shot, and if it doesn't go right the first time, they either can't do it again or they have to reset everything, and it's not as easy as it is in Disney where they just get to, you know, flick a switch essentially and start over again.
I mean, my thing with that is, and this is why I always had a major issue with Lights, Motors, Action is how it treated, like for a kid like me who really was like, oh, this is so cool. This is how they made Indiana Jones. It's like they make fun of it in the process, and I think they were like, this is how we'll keep people going, the humor. And I'm like, no, it's Indiana Jones and it's like stunts. So that's how you keep people going. Like not everything has to be a big joke. And you know, these stunts are not easy because the stunt person lost their life a couple of years ago, unfortunately, performing some of these stunts. So it is still like, it is a dangerous thing. So it is still a spectacular worth seeing for sure. And staying at Hollywood Studios, since that's all they offered for quite some time, were stage shows. I also think the Jedi Training Academy, the Trials of the Temple are pretty spectacular. I'm not going to lie. Like, for an adult sitting there watching it, you might be like, oh, okay, this is cool, but I feel a little weird. There's a lot of little kids up here that I'm watching. But I think if I was like an 8-year-old child and if it was Star Wars, like, and I was like being trained by a Jedi and freaking Darth Vader comes out on stage.
Time out. Let's be real. If it wasn't frowned upon, you would totally sign up.
I would sign up. I made a lightsaber with you at the park. Like, I just think, like, how cool is that? That you can go, you get get trained from these characters, and you know, there's no talent. You know, you're going to see Kylo Ren, you're going to see Darth Vader, you're going to see that other sister lady. I forget her name. Sister of the devil. I don't know where she is.
It is, I will say,
Michelle Gellar.
I really, really do enjoy watching this when I do catch it going by, because it is cool seeing how into it the kids are. They are so excited to be up there fighting the Star Wars villains. I think it's actually the way they tie it all together with the training. It does have a good plot line with it too. The only thing that frustrates me, which is really petty, and I know people get pissed off about it, but I get so irritated when it's like you see a kid that's like up there and they're like, usually it's because they're really little and they're just like not making contact with Darth Vader's lightsaber, and it's like, how can you not be hitting it? He's right in front of you. And then you remember, oh, they're kids. I probably couldn't do this either.
Padawan when I was a kid, was not but, trained well.
Yeah. But other than that, it's a cute show. It's a really cute show.
I do think the update, when they turn it into Trials of the Temple versus the original version of it, I do think it made it more enjoyable for the casual person who's walking by as well, because it offered more. It's like what Craig said. It actually had a much more fluid storyline.
Yeah.
And it kind of like tied into the whole, like, this is why it can be Darth Vader, Darth Maul, Kylo Ren, anybody, because it's supposed to be like the temple reveals your deepest fears or whatever, you know. So it was kind of, I don't know, it's cool. Plus there's a lot of cool effects. Like, imagine being a kid, the Star Wars theme is playing, those characters are there, and then like just out of the mist emerges this thing. I don't, I just, I, it's something like if I had done it, I think I would just be like convinced I was a Jedi for the rest of my life.
It's very believable.
Yeah. So that will bring us over to Animal Kingdom. And there are two very good stage shows over here. The first one we're going to talk about is Finding Nemo the Musical. Sean,
How
do you feel about it?
I don't like the Finding Nemo musical. I don't understand why they made a stage show of a movie that doesn't have music already in it. Because one of the things I like watching is being able to sing along, but you know, for people to be able to hum along and enjoy that. And I don't know any of the songs, so I just, and it also has that Big Blue World in it, and I hate that song. So that's
okay. In your defense, I also hate that song. So I like the
but
other
they
songs,
do a great but... job of the show. Like the actors are good. They did it as a good quality thing. I just don't get why it exists. That's my main thing. When they could have picked other movies that already had music and all that, people were so familiar with the music that they really could have sat and sang along with for their kids' sake and stuff.
And that's part of what I love about it. There's nothing against taking an already popular Disney musical and expanding upon it. But I will say that also is it, like, just for instance, Frozen just opened up on Broadway. I tried to listen to the actual cast recording for it. I'm like, I don't care about any of these songs because I already know the main songs from Frozen.
Right.
And then it's all of these ones. I'm sure when I see it one day, it'll make more sense. It'll all be contextualized. But that's not the case with every Broadway album. I can listen to other ones I've never seen before and enjoy it. When it's already building upon a musical, I don't really adapt to it as well.
When they like add in original songs? Like when they make the movie version of a Broadway musical and they're like, we got to throw in two or three extra songs.
I don't usually grow on those as fast.
Yeah.
So with Finding Nemo the musical, the fact that they could start from the ground up with Bobby Lopez and his wife and...
The Avenue Q people, yeah?
Yes.
They made Avenue Q. Yeah.
They also made the Frozen music.
And Book of Mormon. I mean, literally the Lopez's.
I didn't know Robert Lopez was
the EGOT winner.
Oh, interesting.
This was a creation from them, and so when you have these first rate singer songwriters that are working on original music for it, I think I don't like all the songs, and I agree. In the big blue world is slightly obnoxious, and the fact that they did
it's just the Nemo person singing it always, like, yeah, it's just the range and the tone it is.
And it was that synergy time where they're like, okay, well, we're also opening it up at Epcot, so we're going to make this the theme song of the Seas with Nemo and Friends. So it just got like really implanted in your brain more than you ever wanted it to. But I mean, I will also say, if you saw the Tarzan Rock show that was in the Finding Nemo theater before, that was the biggest load of garbage because it basically took Phil Collins' rock song, like the Phil Collins songs from the movie with a band, but then put a bunch of people on rollerblades and skated around the stage. And so anything was going to be a step up. So maybe that's still why I love Finding Nemo the musical so much, because I remember having to sit through Tarzan Rocks.
Woof. But I don't remember the Tarzan show either. I originally thought maybe the Tarzan music would have been good, but that makes it sound horrible. So now I'm glad that we have what we have. I also think what's underappreciated about the Nemo musical is the puppetry. Those giant puppets and the skills of the performers.
When they're like swimming through the water and stuff, it's really cool.
They're not small puppets either. They're massive, so that massive theater of people can all see them no matter where your seat is. And I think that goes understated in the brilliance of the show.
Yeah. Well, my favorite stage show, I think, here is Festival of the Lion King.
Same.
Yeah, I know you're a big Lion King fan, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
So you repeat view this one?
Oh, yeah. I do a lot. But I also, my brother's girlfriend is in it, so it's one of those things where we go a lot to see her perform as well. Like, anytime my family's in town, my friends are like, oh, let's go see Amber. But so we go quite often to see it. It's always good. It's always really well done. It was just, they had gotten rid of the Tumble Monkeys for a bit, but now they're back. So they had gotten rid of them for a while. It was because most of them were the original Tumble Monkeys when the show first opened like 20 years ago. And so now they were having a lot of medical issues because they had already made the monkeys set was a little lighter than it was originally, apparently, as they got a little older. Then it had gotten to the point where people were just falling in between springs and breaking their leg. Ooh, and they had a lot of issues come up, and they didn't really have any backups was the problem. So they had to just get rid of the Tumble Monkeys, and they would very sporadically put it in with who they had. So they did a whole thing where they went around to like some universities around the country and got, you know, gymnasts that were, you know, wanting to move into something else. And so now they got a new onslaught of people to go with who they already had. And, you know, now the Tumble Monkeys are back. But it's a phenomenal show. I think it's so good.
I love that it's got a little bit of everything. So you talked about the Tumble Monkeys. For me, I've always loved gymnastics. So it's a really cool part of the show I like. You know, you've got the people that fly around the room as the birds when they play
Can You Feel the Love?
Yeah, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Yeah. And then my personal favorite is the fire twirler. That's who I always look forward to. Like, so
I think if you're going to Walt Disney World and you don't like shows, but if you there is one you need to watch, this is it. However, for repeat people, I think it really comes down to the rewatchability based on the singers.
Yep.
Because I still remember when it first opened and we would go, I remember the original core singers, like the ones that were even on the album, and it was fantastic. And then as they started to go away and you add ones in, sometimes it's like, you're not good enough to be performing with other people. And I don't mean that in a mean way. They're great singers. It's just they have to nail the songs that are in here because
they're iconic. I agree.
Well, they're iconic, but when the performers are nailing their moves with whether it's fire or Tumble Monkeys or twirling in the air, it's everything has to work perfectly. And then when it's a singer that's not quite as strong as the rest, it just brings it down for me a little bit. But when you got a full group of great singers and everything's working in stride, this show is just unbelievable.
When they added the new singers, it's kind of like at the end of a series of a show when like one of the main characters drops off and they add like the other guy that's supposed to just seamlessly fit in, and it just doesn't work.
You're like, ugh, you ruin everything. I like this show too because I like the length. I feel like it's like the perfect length, and what it's kind of unique about this versus like a lot of the other types of stage shows that Disney does, especially with like we didn't talk about like Frozen and stuff like that. I feel like they try and really, or even The Voyage of Little Mermaid, they're really trying to like do a brief version of the movie. And I don't, the Festival of the Lion King is like a celebration of the best parts about the Lion King.
Yeah.
And I like how it pairs with the, I don't, you know, the stunt choreography dance of it all. Like I feel like they're showcasing it in the best way where it's not like, oh, I'm supposed to be watching the story being told. I'm just watching the different like tribes tell different parts of their stories. And stuff.
I feel like I'm channeling my inner Charles on this one though, but I don't like going to this early. I like showing up at the last second because one thing I hate is the audience participation in the beginning.
They've got to be the warthog.
This show is so high energy. Like, you don't need a pump-up person to get everyone in there and get excited for it. They need to be saving that for the shows we're going to be talking about later on the next week's show.
Well, plus, I don't need to hear the sound of a giraffe that makes. I learned that once in my life. I don't want to hear the bleep.
I don't like about the show is because I'm okay with that stuff or whatever, because I usually sit on the very first row or whatever because I request it and then I get picked to be an animal, so I like that. But I don't like when the princess girl picks whatever child she's going to do to be the giraffe, and she says, can you make a noise like a giraffe? Obviously they can't because they're not going to know what the sound is. And she's like, well, I looked it up and it sounds like a sheep. And I'm like, but I don't want you to say you looked it up. Like, it's a really minor tweak, but I'm like, I wish she was like, well, we have giraffes here, and they sound like this. Yeah. Or whatever, because I'm like, what do you mean you
looked
it up?
Couldn't you go in the backyard and like, talk to them?
Yeah. Like, I'm like,
what do you mean you looked it up? I don't think I ever thought of it, and now that's going to
bother me. It always
has
bugged me. Yeah. I'm like, that's not right.
Oh, you didn't look it up? You were too lazy, Susan, to get on the safari?
To listen to the giraffe right there. But yeah, it just takes me out of the world that we're supposed to be in, like in the movie, I guess.
On a positive note, I do enjoy the the way that it, the theater is set up, and that there's not really a bad seat.
Yeah, I like all sides.
It's almost like a stadium.
Yeah.
So more people can fit
in. In the round.
Yes. Sort of. So more people can fit in there without the bleachers having to go super, super far back on one side or something like that. So that's nice.
Let's be real, though. You always get ticked off when you're not sitting by, like, the Simba animatronic, though. You want to be on the cool section. You don't want to be in the giraffe section.
I know. Right?
That's where I always am. Not on purpose.
But there you have it. Those are our picks for the best shows of Walt Disney World. Disney Junior Live on Stage, Voyage of the Little Mermaid, Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, Jedi Training Academy, Trials of the Temple, Finding Nemo the Musical, and of course, Festival of the Lion King. So if we missed one of your favorites, please leave it in the comments below if you're watching this video. Feel free to like, subscribe to the video, all that fun stuff. You see more about the things we offer beyond the best and worst when you stay subscribed and up to date on us. Thank you guys for having this discussion, and we will see you next time.